Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing, and also welcome to week one of June Ladies Month. And we'll be joined by retired NASCAR star Shauna Robinson. We'll also hear from Andy Altenberg from Altenberg Construction, and a little more about Pulver's Towing right after a few words from our sponsors.
Pulver Motor Service is far more than towing and recovery. Pulver has the versatility and tools to move anything with wheels. Why should you invest in a truck and trailer when for a fraction of the cost, Pulver can move your heavy equipment to the job site and back? With our years of experience and investment in equipment, Pulver Motor Service isn't limited by size, weight, or distance. See for yourself at pulvermotorservice.com. Contact us today and find out how we can help move your business forward.
Honda has found a way to make the great outdoors even greater with special offers on select 4-Trax ATVs. Our lineup of tireless 4-Trax ATVs are designed to tackle the toughest jobs and leave you with enough energy to enjoy a ride once the work is done. And now get up to $800 factory-to-dealer incentives on select models. Just head to Trimble Cycle Center in Austin now during the Greater Outdoors Sales Event and make this your best year outdoors yet. Factory-to-dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details. Trimble Cycle Center in Austin, celebrating 60 years as USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
We've all heard the old saying, going the extra mile. When it comes to repairing your vehicle, that old saying rings true at Midwest Collision in Faribault. You may have to drive that extra mile, but Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will reward you with quick and educational estimates. Plus, they'll go the extra mile to make sure you are completely satisfied with your repair. Call Midwest Collision today at 332-2434. They're miles ahead of the competition.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there whether it's a small or large project with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
For over 95 years, Napa Auto Parts has been there for you. And right now, Napa has big savings on hand tools, power tools, and tool sets. A Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench makes a great gift for dad or a grad at just $99.99. Get up to $100 in trade-in for your old tools during DeWalt's trade-in trade-up. And Black Diamond Avalanche refrigerant is only $29.99 after mail-in rebate. With locations throughout the listening area, you're never far from a Napa, a proud member of the local community.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil and VP Racing Fuel, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by NASCAR driver Shauna Robinson. And Shauna, an interesting detail I discovered researching your racing career. We are both about the same age, and both enjoyed going to flea markets and antique shops and collecting cool stuff for our collections, and then heading to the races in the evenings.
Oh, yes. Well, see, that's where it comes into. I have definitely half of my mother, who was the antique guru and the designer type. She knew how to do anything. And then my dad was totally the racer and the promoter and all of this. So I think I got a very good blend of both.
I also can't help but ask this question, growing up in the same era. Were you a hair metal girl or a country girl?
Totally country, but I'm pretty much a blend of music now. I kind of like it all.
Last November, I emceed the Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum Banquet in Webster City, Iowa. Your name came up during dinner, and the stories just started to flow. Race fans are very loyal, and there's still a lot of Shauna Robinson fans out there.
I know. That just amazes me. And at the same time, it makes me so grateful for the loyalties. And that's one thing about NASCAR going into that world, or really any racing venue. They are incredibly loyal, and they really follow their people. And I still today get quite a bit. I mean, it surprises me how much fan mail I get. And it kind of started when I created a Facebook page to focus more on my design business. But then next thing I knew, all of these race fans just poured in. Immediately, I had like 5,000 friends, and then it created another account. But just staying in touch with people, and the people that reach out, and the people that have named their daughters after you, the stories are just incredible.
The Iowa State Fairgrounds racetrack is gone now. I was there for the very last race before they tore the track out. That track has a lot of meaning for you and your career.
Oh, absolutely. And anything to do with Iowa, Iowa State Fair, the memories of just the fair itself and the racetrack, going to the racetrack when my dad was racing, my brother was racing, and then in later years, my dad promoted the Iowa State Fair Speedway, and basically, it was a family venue. I mean, I had my aunts and uncles. My uncles were all in the infield, and they all were the officials, and my mom and her sisters and my cousin, they were all selling tickets in the sales booth, and my sister wrote the program they created and printed up, and at that time, when he started promoting, I think I was probably 16 or 17, so I would just be kind of there all the time, and I would help pack the track. Anything that needed to be done, I was out there doing it. But packing that track taught me a lot of things, because that Iowa dirt and that Iowa mud, and slinging sideways to get the track packed, were very, very memorable days. And then just being involved in the racing there, and then just being an Iowa girl, it'll never, ever leave your soul.
You began your racing career at age 18. How did the idea come about? And how did you go about putting your team together?
Well, that all goes out to Dad. Probably more than anything came upon on a dare. I'm the youngest of five, so there was never a time that we didn't have some kind of vehicle that came and went. I mean, we were definitely a medium financial family. We weren't at the top, but we weren't at the bottom. And my dad, his main job was selling trucks and cars, so he was always wheeling and dealing and doing this deal and doing that deal. So we'd always get something really cool to drive, and the next thing you know, it'd get sold, and then something else would come about. So when he started doing the Iowa State Fairgrounds, like I said, I was always the one that was packing the track, and we all knew how to ride motorcycles and any kind of a car, and I was helping warm the trucks up. This was actually at Toledo Speedway in Toledo, Ohio, when he started promoting, and I was doing hot laps in an old international truck. I mean, these were not modified in any way. They were basically right off the street without the trailers hooked to them. And so I was helping warm up, and my dad was watching me, and he's like, oh, I bet if you got out there and, you know, running against other trucks, you wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm like, oh, yes, I would. So this is a time where it definitely ages me, but you really didn't even have a race suit at that time. I mean, it was jeans and tennis shoes and a t-shirt and go racing. That was very short-lived, but basically I raced that night. And one thing he couldn't figure out was how he was going to tell my mom that that was me in that truck running. And he had it videotaped, of course, beta, that'll take you back, on beta tape. And he showed it to my mom, and he's like, watch that one truck there. Watch that. What do you think? How do you think they're doing? And she's like, oh, they're doing good. He's like, well, that's your daughter. He's like, what? It didn't really surprise her, because my mother actually raced at one point in her younger years. That was back more when it was the derbies where the women would run all together. So she had it in her blood, too. And it strongly became the first summer, which was right after I graduated high school in 83, I just started traveling with my dad and helping him. He was teaching me marketing. So I basically just said, all right, I'm going to take this summer to do this. And I thought maybe at that point I would go into maybe broadcasting or some kind of marketing in college. And I'll tell you, that first year, we just raced. And next thing you know, in 84, it was very much more of a, this is what I'm going to do, and I've got to set my mind to it, that I'm not going to be the normal 19-year-old that all my other friends were, because I was out of town so much, and we were traveling, and I really set my mind to making this, like, this is what I want to do, and I want to be good at it.
And it actually didn't take you very long to find the winner's circle.
It actually didn't. In 84, I would say, was my first really big win. wasn't really my first win. My first one was Rockford, Illinois, and I did a clean sweep. So I won the Trophy Dash, the Heat Race, and the Feature. So in the winner's circle, my trophy was a broom because they called it the clean sweep. So it's kind of funny. So that was in Rockford in 83. In 84, I won at Milwaukee with the Gator Truck Series, which was basically my dad's series was short track diesel. And then the Gator Series was running at the time, originated from Smokey and the Bandit. So it had been a series that had been running a couple of years, and they ran the speedways. They ran Atlanta, Pocono, Bristol, and then also some short tracks around. And I won at Milwaukee in 84. First woman to ever win on a mile. That was just a huge, huge accomplishment for me. And I really stayed focused with it. And then in later years, moved on to NASCAR.
Winning so soon in your racing career can be a blessing or a curse. Which was it for you?
Oh, it was a blessing. There was a lot of curses around me, and I use that word in a sense that that's really what I mean. A lot of people didn't agree with me being out there. You know, they didn't feel like that was my place. This was a time where, I mean, I started racing at 18, and you look at it now, I mean, there's drivers now that are 18, 19 years old, and they're starting their way into the big leagues, and little girls and boys are racing at 4, 5, and 6 years old in little mini sprints and then going up from there. So this was a time where that wasn't that well known. There was Janet Guthrie's and Shirley Muldowney's in drag racing, but there really wasn't dominance, as there still isn't, of female drivers. But yeah, the more remarks or comments or smart alecks that were around me, the more it drove me to drive.
In the semi-truck series, you ran dirt and asphalt and ran it over 50 different tracks. What are your favorite memories from running that series?
Well, I'll tell you the one thing about the way that I started racing, there wasn't a track that I was a champion at because we didn't ever run the same tracks over and over and over like most of your hometown racers do. So every track we went to, we literally had to unload, do hot laps, check the track out, do time trials, start your heat. It was like boom, boom, boom. So you immediately had to adapt to that racetrack quickly. And I think that's why truck racing, even though it was not that well known or not a huge American sport, it was very big in Europe. It gave me the ability here to go to racetracks. We kind of followed like a World of Outlaws freight car tour. We would kind of be in the same type of cities that they were, same areas. So we would race not just on Saturday nights. We'd race on Wednesday nights. We'd race on Friday nights and Saturday nights. So every track we went to, and the fact that it could be dirt half mile one weekend, and then it could be a little asphalt quarter mile, which putting a big old truck around those wasn't that easy at that time. But it gave me, I guess, that seat training that, to me, a driver learns from the seat of his pants. And you adjust, you know, what your car or your truck's doing, and you pick up on things very quickly, and you learn different things. Like when I went to my first speedway, well, Milwaukee was one, which was a mile, but my first, like, Daytona in a race car, everybody was like, if you don't feel comfortable, just bring it in, and there's no pressure here. You need to do this. And I'm out there, and I'm like, you know, you're full throttle all the way around until you get into actually racing, and you learn drafting, and you learn everything about speedways to learn. But the adjustment came pretty quick to me, and I guess I owe that to my dad. He always challenged me, and he always was very, very big on, you need to be the first, you need to be the first. And I'm like, just quit putting that in my head. And then when I was the first to win in trucks and then in cars, it did make a huge difference. It was a huge accomplishment. But he was a very good mentor and guider for me, and just kind of throwing you out there, making you learn, letting you learn and figure it out on your own.
You ended up in Philadelphia, all places, and raced at the historic Flemington Speedway, which is now closed. How did that all come about, and what was racing at Flemington like?
Oh, Flemington was one of my favorite tracks. Such good, good memories there. Well, honestly, before I moved to Philly, which was a situation that came about, I had actually raced in France twice and Mexico in the trucks, in France in the trucks. The Philadelphia area, when I was running the trucks, I was contacted by a Dryden oil company, which is a heavy-duty lubricant for, like, a lot of quarries. We're talking big, big commercial grading machines, and not to say that I ever really learned to drive any of those, but I did learn how to sell oil. And when Dryden approached me, they basically offered me a job as a salesperson and representative with their company that was also a driver. So we would do trade shows, go to racetracks, but I had to go to, like, the oil training school to be able to have the knowledge that a salesperson for that company would have. Not at all where I thought I would end up, because being from the Midwest, you always think of NASCAR as a southern sport, and circle track racing was always really wanted to be, not really road racing. But when I moved to the Northeast and to the Philly area, Flemington was really our closest track. So we didn't run there consistently, but we ran there two or three times a season, and it was dirt. And that track, I very much gravitated towards flat surfaces, like Milwaukee was a flat mile and Flemington was a flat half mile, and it was just a really good track for me. And I won there a few times, and it was so sad to hear. And with Paul Cool was the promoter there, and such good people, it's good the area to be around. But I also ran Middletown, New York, Lebanon Valley. So that was kind of a transformation into the modified world of racing. And then we would do the truck racing within turn to that. So I can't be grateful enough for the fact that I lived in the Northeast for 2 years and raced in upstate New York in the Northeast area, because it really, really gave me a lot of knowledge. And I love that I had the opportunity to do that.
During the 21-year period from 1990 to 2011, you were the only female to make a NASCAR Cup start. What are your memories of that period in your career, and was that a lonely feeling being the only female racing at that level at that time?
No, you know, as far as the lonely feeling, no. I mean, it was a goal, but I'll tell you how that whole thing kind of came about. I came into NASCAR in the Dash Series, which was very successful, ran with the same team, the same group of guys and crew members that we had, and same owner. So there was really the first consistency I really had with the team. So we had some success in the Dash Series, which at the time, drivers like Davey Allison, Michael Waltrip, it was kind of like the ARCA of today. Young drivers up and coming, that's where they kind of broke the ground to get into the Busch Series at the time. And so I ran Dash, and then I ran Busch. When I went into Busch, it was pretty inconsistent with teams and having like a full season sponsor. So maybe I was only running 15 races out of the 28. And, you know, you can never seem to be at that top level when you're not running all the time and you're not running consistently. So it was just really somewhat of a struggle. Although I had Polaroid come in, we had the poll in Atlanta in 94. We had a lot of good things happening. We had one of the best sponsors with Polaroid. Just didn't have a real consistent team situation. But the one that I did was with Michael Kranefiss when I was running ARCA and then some cup attempts. But BAM Racing approached me to sign a contract with their team to run the Cup Series. And I was definitely, hey, I know I can do this. You give me the equipment and you give me a lot of testing. But can I ask why you want to do it this way instead of putting a veteran driver in your first year Cup team and putting me in a full-time Busch team and then moving me up the next year? And they're like, no, this is the way we want to do this, and we're all in if you're all in. So, of course, there's no question I was not going to walk away from an opportunity, and a challenge was definitely up my alley. It's almost like put the odds against me, and it's going to come out a better way. So, yeah, running Daytona, to go there, brand new team. I had brand new crew chief, so rookie driver, rookie crew chief. Basically, rookie team manager was all put together and no sponsor on the car. Went to Daytona and we made that race on time. We made our way in. And the thing of it is, I didn't even actually realize it. It was all qualifying. Had just gotten over, and, you know, you're always watching the board and you're like, did we get into it? And then Dale Jarrett runs up to me and, like, you know, hits me in the arm and like, damn it, girl, good job. You're in. You're in. All on your own. You're in. And I'm like, oh, my God, we made it. And then I was taken off to go do an appearance instead of being taken to the media center at the Daytona Speedway. everybody was like, what the heck? She made the race and she's not even here in the media center. So who knows? But we actually finished that race and ran the whole thing, and it was a learning experience. And I did actually run Michigan in was my first cup race with Michael Kranefuss in the Aaron's car. So Michigan is really my first 500-mile race, and it was just crazy to go from 200-mile races to 500-mile races. Your stamina. I had a trainer. I was very athletic, and I think I've always looked at it like a driver was just like an athlete in any other way. They just had a car around them, but you still had to maintain your strength and energy. And I'd say one thing, never knew how bad you have to go to the bathroom until after you get out of your first 500-mile race. So we made some accomplishments.
And speaking of not going to the media room after that Daytona 500 qualification, they wanted you there because you were the first woman to do that since Janet Guthrie did it in 1977.
I know. Is that not crazy? Just the fact that that's how long it took for another female to run the Daytona 500. And then I think, what was it, I don't have my dates right, but it wasn't right away that Danica came into the sport, which was very much more of a different sport than it was when I was in it. You know, when I was in it, I can't imagine. I know that all of Janet got three stories and have talked to her, and she dealt with a lot of things. And then in my time, I think I paved the way for more females to come through. But there wasn't social media. There wasn't all this access now that you have to really kind of relate to your driver or follow them or get to know them. I think NASCAR opened those doors with the way that they treated their fans, the way the fans were able to get autographs from the drivers. It wasn't a hard thing to do at that time. They made us accessible to the fans. And that's what made that sport to me really such a heartfelt sport and a family sport and American sport. So I was very, very proud to be a part of it. And yeah, it is crazy, and it's still crazy that it took so long, even with Danica coming in and really being put in a position where with the good equipment and a good situation, and she had been, you know, in Indy, so she had proven herself in some other ways. But it was still a challenge for her, and I think she did remarkable things, and I think we're going to see it coming soon, but I don't think right away. I think it's going to be a few more years till you'll see a woman in, what do they call it now? Whatever it's called, it's Winston Cup to me. It's going to be a little bit longer, and I hopefully they don't push the ones that are near and ready too quickly and let them really get the seat time before they put them into that area. But I think there's someone out there that's got a handle on it.
Another first, you are the first woman in history to win a NASCAR-sanctioned race at the AC Delco 100 at New Asheville Speedway in June of 1988.
Yeah, that was my first win in the Dash Cars. And I'll tell you just the fact that Elmo Langley was driving the pace car at that race, and David Pearson, and I can't name how many legends were probably at that race. And that was, I'll tell you, when I was with that team with David Watson, the Dusmore sponsor that I had on there came from Iowa friend of my family, my father, Don Lamberti, who owns all the Casey's General Stores around the Midwest. They don't have any of them here in the South, but they're very similar to a Quick Trip, but a little bit more family style. And Don Lamberti's the one who really helped and funded me to get into NASCAR, into that Dash series, and also Pat Patterson, a media person that I'm sure you're familiar with. He was the one who really got me out of the truck and got me connected with David Watson and that Dash team. And I'll tell you, every time we pulled into a racetrack and we unloaded, we were a threat. And that is the most amazing. It's not that you're even aware of it. You just know you're there. You're going to unload. You know you're going to be fast. You know you're going to be competitive. And you know you're just in a good situation. And Asheville was another track that closed down. Now we've got more on what number three, the Iowa Fairgrounds, Flemington, Asheville. Kind of a sad thing, but many good memories.
And you also mentioned another first, the first woman to win a pole in an Xfinity Series race at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yes. What a high and a low in such a short period of time. But yeah, we qualified well. We had a great car, was in a great place. I had lost my father prior to that race where he passed in 93, and I just felt his presence there so much, like during that whole time of, you know, kind of at that point, I guess building somewhat of a name in NASCAR and up and coming and running with all these drivers that are very well known and very well received. Some of them were pretty cool with me being out there. I mean, Davey Allison was probably one of my mentors over the radio in the early days of running with Polaroid. And that day at Atlanta, there's so much hype going on around it. And, you know, all I could wait for is just to get in that car. And then it, you know, turned out to be a little bit of a, what's the word? Can't think of the word right now, but evidently when the race started, I guess beforehand, Mike Wallace had went up to Nemechek and said, I'm taking her out on the first lap. And he's like, well, okay, yeah, just don't take me out with her. Just what do you, this blah, blah, whatever. And that's pretty much what happened. And it did take Joe Nemechek with me. And I didn't know any of this had gone on prior to, but when Kyle Petty was doing my interview after the wreck, that's when he had told me. And there was a lot of tension there, a lot of frustration. So it's like you're at the highest level and then it's over within in a second, you know, just to be able to go back and just run that race again, that'd be the one I'd choose to do. Well, actually, it wouldn't be the one I'd choose to do. It would be the ARCA race that I finished second at under caution. That one I would have wanted or crashed.
This is the first time ever that a driver and a show sponsor guest, Andy Altenberg, are both cancer survivors. Cancer is like racing. You have to stay focused to beat it.
Oh, yeah. You know, you always say you never think that it's going to be you. But just as I did with driving and setting my mind to I wasn't the best qualifier, so by God, I was going to be a better qualifier. And I made that my mission is to be a better qualifier, to be better at things. And then cancer kind of just smacked me in the head. It was a very personal time because my father-in-law had a year prior had just been diagnosed with prostate cancer, which is usually, if you catch it early, your chances are, you know, much better with a lot of different cancers. And we had lost Dale. And then within a year, on March 7th, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. So it was just like, all right, it is so true what they say about when you're told and you're sitting there in that little room with the doctor and the assistant and they're, you know, giving you all these books and letting you know what you're prognosis is, you don't hear anything from that word cancer. It is like Charlie Brown's teacher, and you just take it all in. And then immediately I was like, okay, what do we need to do? Let's just do it. Let's get on it right now. What do we need to do? The waiting, because they had to get all my blood work and set you up with your oncologist and figure out what your path is going to be. And then once they got all the blood work back, then the path changed from what it was going to be immediately surgery. Let's get this out of there. Because mine had progressed into my lymph nodes, which brought it to the stage 3 level, my oncologist felt it was best to really hit me with a hard round of chemo, then let's do surgery, and then let's go back and do more chemo, and then radiation. So the whole process, it was like that, it was probably a week, probably 4 to 5 days that went by waiting to hear from my surgeon to know when we're going to get this thing started so we can beat it, you know, like, don't make me wait. Let's just do this. Then it was the waiting and the waiting. And then we ended up starting it with the chemo. So it was a longer process, but we got through it with support of family. And I'll tell you, my mother-in-law, you know, I ended up having the same oncologist as my father-in-law did. And I had my chemo in the same place, same nurses, same everything. And she was sitting there right by my side. I mean, she had just gone through it. And how she had the strength, you know, she made me little sandwiches and snacks and just things to take in while you're in there for the 3 or 4 hours that you're in there. And it was a process. But I'll tell you, I got through it. And we had the surgery and everything went well. Never knew we had so many lymph nodes, you know. I think they removed 22 lymph nodes out of my left side and the tumor from the breast. So I did not have to have the mastectomy, which is what immediately I was like, let's get this done. Because of the progress, I think, that breast cancer had made and all the new things, and they could really take my situation and really dial me into what was the best thing for me. And then I'll tell you, work brought me through the last stages of it. When I finished my chemo, then I was to start the 28 days of radiation, and Ray and Aaron Evernham, Aaron Crocker, you know, who was a racer and who I knew, and of course everyone knows Ray Evernham, and they had contacted me because at that time I was doing design, and they I just bought a place at Amelia Island, a condo, and they were going to remodel it for another place. And they said, we know you've been in treatment. We just want to see if you're up for this. And so I went to my oncologist and said, is there any way that I can, because I hadn't started the radiation yet. Now, if I had started it, I wouldn't have been able to change. But they scheduled me to do radiation at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville and basically spent 2 to 3 months in Florida taking the ferry to the Mayo Clinic every day, had my radiation, and then I'd go and meet with the cabinet person or pick out the lighting, the flooring. We did a total gut remodel, and, you know, there were days that maybe I didn't feel that good and just didn't, they're like, we understand. And, you know, I think because of that focus for me of having a job to do and having something on my plate, it really got me through it. And that was the time where I never wore wigs. Of course, the first question on my first day of chemo was, when am I going to lose my hair? And she says to me, 12 days. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't expect that answer. Like, I didn't expect it to be like that. And it was true. It was basically 12 days to where it was at the point where you had to go ahead and shave it off because it was so spotty. But towards the end, I kind of got a little fun with wigs. And I would go into radiation. They'd never know what I was going to look like that day because I might change something up or I might not have anything on at all. So anyway, it's a thing, you know, you're never the same person that you were before cancer, after cancer. And I'm just glad to say that I'm a person that's still here and got through that point in my life. And I just got to my sixth year. So, you know, getting to five is huge. But I will say a year after my cancer, my son was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And he went through it for a year also through chemo, lost his hair. And he was 19 years old. So you just never know what the world's going to throw at you. You just got to grab onto it and take it to the checkered flag, I guess. And Tanner is doing great these days. He's now 24, and he just had his most recent checkup. Everything looks good. So, you know, I'm blessed, very blessed.
The name of your business is called Happy Chair. How can people find out more about that business?
Well, I'll tell you, honestly, Happy Chair started after I got out of racing, like 2005, 2006, and I was doing a lot of custom furniture, unique pieces, one of a kind, and I would travel around to do sales, like the flea markets, and you can't really call them flea markets, they're antique shows or where buyers go, buyers for Tommy Hilfiger, buyers for the Ellen DeGeneres stage set, Matthew McConaughey, Miranda Lambert are the ones that go to these shows and buy stuff. And one of them is Texas in Round Top, and it's basically 30 miles of field of just all kinds of cool stuff. And Miranda Lambert actually happened to buy 8 pieces from me, which is now in her bed and breakfast in Oklahoma. And I'm happy to say that the room has got a lot of happy in it. So I am only doing custom orders now. I moved on to doing online sales, which kind of came and went. So I do still do some furniture, but I'm doing more now, mainly residential and some commercial. I'm doing a brewery right now in Mooresville. So mainly design, but I still have my website. It's still shaunarobinson.com. I still have pieces that I've sold on there. If somebody's interested in a piece, I'm still able to do it. If someone needs me to decorate, and it doesn't matter where it is, I travel everywhere. But that's really where I'm at right now, is doing design. And still going to the races. I mean, I still go every once in a while. Of course, lately, none of us have gone except just at Charlotte, which I didn't go to because of COVID. You know, I've been one since I am more at a risk with my cancer past. I've definitely taken this thing serious. I've been social distancing for quite a while. I've just really enjoyed my dog and my fiance. And, of course, my kids come and go because they don't live with me any longer because they're getting all grown up. But so it's been a little bit of a change in our world, and as we keep seeing even more things happening that are so unfortunate. Yeah, so still doing design, still out there, still kicking, and I just hope some things can start. I don't think they're ever going to be back to normal the way they were, but I think we will get back to a new normal.
Shauna, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
Thank you so much.
One of our new products in Weir's Machine Racing Products is our load pull sticks. These are used on the corner of your race car. You can gather all kinds of data with them, or you can change springs with them. So this is our ratcheting version. Make it into ratcheting and non-ratcheting so you can pull the car into motion either on the ground or on jack stands. Pulling the car into motion on the ground will simulate the travel through the motion and tell you if you have a bind or not. One of the things that we're using this for is to change springs. So you would have this set to a certain distance, you would hook it up to the race car, you'll get a load number, you'll pull the spring out, put the next spring in, hook it back up, the load number will be different, and then you will screw the screw jack until the load number is the same. This is simply a tool to build a notebook for you to tune your race cars. Simply just a tool for changing springs, finding a bind in your suspension, and then tuning your right front or left front packages. For more information on our products, find us on the internet at weirsmachine.com.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a Powerlift architectural door on your home or cabin. Powerlift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Callie or Rod. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Galloping through a sea of yellow, slashing, spraying, cutting, can't keep this up much longer.
Hey, wake up! You're dreaming about our dandelion problem again.
What?
Just call Wolf and Sons, and they'll take care of our dandelion problem. 455-3524.
455-3524.
Wolf and Sons, the dandelion assassins.
Yeah.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact: Aero Racing wheels can be seen on dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact: Aero Racing wheels have become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact: The Aero 59 series wheel has won more Monster Energy NASCAR, Xfinity, and Gander Outdoors Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see AeroRacingWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers products. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. Superior lubricants like JB80 and JB Heavy Duty Chain Lubricants are made for today's farm equipment. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to auto enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products distributor at 952-934-7354 or visit justicebrothers.com. Go with the winner, Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Attention hay farmers, Rhino Egg now has a fast and easy way to handle the gathering, lifting, loading, and offloading of square hay bales using only one operator. The ACG-10 Acumia Grapple is the one tool you'll need to replace at least 3 or 4 teenagers throwing bales. Save time and money with Rhino Egg Hay Tools. Check out the new hay tools at rhinoegg.com.
VP Racing Fuels is a world leader in performance fuel technology. That includes VP Small Engine Fuel, the perfect fuel for your 2 and 4 cycle gas powered tools, including chainsaws, generators, trimmers, blowers, and more. VP Small Engine Fuel is blended with no ethanol, ensuring easier starts, worry-free long-term storage with fewer repairs. And the 2-cycle blend is pre-mixed with oil, so there's no measuring, no mixing, no mess. Just pour it in and start it up. Learn more about VP Small Engine Fuel at vp-sef.com.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Andy Altenberg, Altenberg Construction and Slat Replacement. And Andy, you decided to take your stock car and go down south and do some racing this winter. How did that idea come about?
I've been trying to do it for the last 5+ years, I guess. Time in the winter is a little easier for me to get away than it is the summer when racing is going really gung-ho up here in the Midwest.
You parked it in Victory Lane at Canyon Park Speedway at the Winter Stock Car Challenge. What a race between you and Hollitz.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun when I seen he was down there a couple weeks prior to that. I had a good race with him over in Yuma, Arizona, too. I messed up a little bit more, and he went on to win that show over there, too. So, yeah, it was awesome to park it in Victory Lane, first time in 3 years since I had my surgeries.
I know that's what really draws us to the stock car division, because it is so awesome to watch the talent in that division and how hard you guys go at it. But you're 6-8 inches apart and you guys don't touch. It's just amazing for the fans.
Yeah, it's even more amazing behind the wheel, honestly. gets a little closer than that once in a while, but usually a little rubbins racing in that class. And as long as they don't lean on one another too hard, it stays pretty competitive and pretty clean.
You also went to Southern Oklahoma Speedway in March. How did that event go for you?
It went really well. Unfortunately, Mother Nature took care of two nights of that, but in the heat race, I had really bad luck. I got into a guy right off the start, and then another guy got crossed up in the middle of two and basically pushed the whole nose in and really didn't finish the heat race, so I had to sit dead last in the feature and came back from that bad start to get second, so I was extremely happy about that.
Andy, you mentioned it's been 3 years since the surgery. Many listeners do not know that you are still with us today due to organ donorship. Talk about the importance of Donate Life Midwest.
Yep, that's a big theme on my car this year. I think I'm going to hold that through for many, many more years. But one other thing a lot of people don't know is I was diagnosed early on in 17 with cancer, and early in my life, at age 15, I was diagnosed with what was called autoimmune hepatitis. Leading into those two things in 17, knowing I had the cancer, I knew I was going to have a liver transplant after the chemo and radiation, which I subsequently ended up having two liver transplants. And the first one came from my living sister, which she was able to donate 70% of her liver. And the second one came from a deceased donor I know as Jenny, and I believe her to be from Wisconsin somewhere. So it's not the easiest thing to talk about. I received a letter from her parents early on after I received her liver, and it's probably the hardest letter I ever read, just based on knowing the circumstances behind it. But, yeah, I wouldn't be here today without somebody being unselfish and donating their daughter's organs, honestly.
Altenberg Construction is this state and region's hog slat replacement specialist. You have built or replaced thousands of hog floors.
Yes. Matter of fact, I'm currently in southern Iowa looking at jobs, and we travel throughout the Midwest, and that covers about 14, 15 different states.
Minnesota is the third largest hog-producing state in the U.S. The hog industry is in trouble right now. Is there anything listeners can do to help get the hog industry back on its feet again?
It's just trying to work through this COVID stuff, honestly. You know, just keeping themselves safe and keep the safe practices, honestly. Stuff that I learned after I went through transplant and we should all do daily, really, is just be very mindful of washing your hands and hand sanitizers and the recommendation of wearing a face protector, a mask of some sorts. That goes a long way in everyday life, honestly.
If a farmer has a need for hog slat replacement, how can they contact you? Because, Andy, if they can hear the Dirt Show and they're in our listening area, they're definitely a customer.
our phone number, our office number is 888-435-2210, or you can check us out on the web at altenbergconstruction.com.
Andy, I can't wait to see that stock car of yours out at a racetrack when we're able to get back out there and watch some live racing. And thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Thanks, and hopefully I'll get back to the races real soon, especially in Minnesota.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open for business 7 days a week, year-round, and the timing to get our doors opened up again couldn't be better. With opening night at Knoxville Raceway scheduled for Saturday, June 6th, you'll want to be sure to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to check out all of the new 2020 Sprint Car shirts, jewelry, books, and merchandise that has already arrived for the season. And you'll definitely want to see the new Salute to Champion Greg Hodnett exhibit inside our museum, featuring 8 of the sprint cars that Greg drove during his illustrious career, including Greg's B-Mod race car that he won his first feature race in. And you'll see all of the behind-the-scenes equipment that Greg Hodnett used his engineering degree on to fine-tune his race cars long before his competitors caught on to Greg's technology. This and Sprint Car Racing's Greatest Achievers, all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building driveshafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft driveshafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum driveshaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Driveshafts, driveshaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coatings offer a scientific process that uses heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme powder coatings can deliver multimedia blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and super durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Visit extremepowdercoating.net for more information. Extreme Powder
Coating. Fires Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, Y-blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulling tractors. Plus, Fires Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Fires Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
Medieval Metalworks is a 25,000 square foot facility in Mankato specializing in CNC tube laser and bending, and is the only facility in the area with those capabilities. Medieval Metalworks is a leading precision metal fabrication shop offering all the latest custom metal fabrication technologies under one roof. Whether you need a one-off custom part or thousands of parts produced for your business, contact Medieval Metalworks at 507-386-3930 or stop by and see them at 3000 Technology Drive in Mankato.
Welcome back to a special segment here on the Dirt Show with Pulver's Towing, and I'm joined by Matt. And Matt, the first thing I have to comment on are the pictures Josh sent me of the huge windmill towing job that you guys did. The amount of rigging, the coordination between all of the tow trucks to do a job of that capacity. Talk about that job and how you go about moving something that massive.
So on Highway 59 there, it went off the road. It broke off a trailer. The whole thing went in the ditch. We come out of Rochester with a 75-ton and our 50-ton rotator and another truck. We had a 50-ton out there, too. And then a guy out of Watertown, South Dakota, come out there. And the shaft of that thing actually weighed 140,000 pounds itself. And the back Jeep was still attached, so that was another 60,000. It's completely nosed down into the ditch. So I bet you the whole works was over 140 feet long. And the easiest route to go was to pull it out in the field where it was real flat. We ended up running shackles through where they bolt everything together. So we take two shackles in one spot and two other shackles down low and tie weight chain. And I doubled up my lines on a 75-ton rotator on one end. And then I took a strap all the way around the whole shaft with that other Performance's rotator out of Watertown. He was right next to me, so we got side by side. We pulled that one end up on top of the field out of the ditch, drug her straight for a little ways, so they had plenty of room and it was on flat ground, and then they brought a 200-ton crane out, and they picked up the one end, put cribbing down underneath, and they got reattached with a different truck and trailer, sat it down in there, and then they built the road to get it out.
If people have a towing job that they need done and they want the best in the business, what's the best way to get a hold of Pulver's Towing?
The Rochester location is 507-282-3851. I got to go on a tow here.
Thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show, Matt.
Yeah. Have a good one.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety. And Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
A car guy will never forget their first hot rod, Richard Petty's STP car, or Don Garlitz's Swamp Rat. If you race a car or own a car that means something to you, then CS Customs can capture those memories in a custom die-cast. CS Customs are locally owned and work with you directly to get the details just right. If you're into cars, racing, or just looking for something unique for an event or your business, then you need to contact Chris Stangler at 612-965-0892 or see Chris Stangler.
Hi, this is Jim Miskin from Miskin Auto Parts. Check out Miskin.com. You'll see all the parts available in our U-Pullet lot, new arrivals ready to part out. Plus, we can also locate those hard-to-find parts for you. Miskin Auto Parts has been buying junkers and providing parts to our customers since 1972, and we ship out parts daily. Call us today at 507-684-2100 or check us out online at Miskin.com.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Thursday night, May 28th, they were racing at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa, in the Hobby Stock A Main. Cody Nielsen over Drew Bargloff. In the A Modified A Main, Jason Breeze over Kelly Shryock. In the Sport Compacts, Katie DeVries over Tyler Feeblecorn. In the B Modified A Main, George Nordman over Doug Cook, and in the stock cars, it was Kelly Shryock over Donovan Smith. Last Friday night, May 29th, they were running at Mississippi Thunder Speedway in Fountain City, Wisconsin, in the USRA B-Mod 20-lap A-Main, Jim Chisholm over Dan Hoofden, in the USRA Hobby Stock A-Main, Chris Hoofden over Jonathan Hansen, in the USRA Late Model A-Main, Lance Hofer over Alex Williamson. In the USRA Modified A-Main, Josh Angst over Jake Tim. In the Hornet A-Main, Jaden Erickson over Jeremy Johnson. And in the Wasota Superstock Special A-Main, Tommy Richards over Dexton Cook. Last Friday and Saturday night, the 410 Wing All-Star Sprint Car Series hit Jefferson Park International Speedway in South Dakota. In Friday night's 25-lap A-Main, it was Aaron Reitzel over Corey Eliason. In Saturday night's All-Star 410 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, it was Austin McCarl over Aaron Reitzel. They were also racing at Cedar Lake Speedway in New Richmond, Wisconsin last Saturday night, May 30th. In the Superstock A-Main, Dave Moss over Shane Sabraski. In the Dirt Late Model A-Main, Jesse Glenz over Dustin Sorensen. In the Midwest Modified A-Main, Jason Vandekamp over Jeremy Nelson. In the A-Modified A-Main, Dan Ebert over Daryl Nelson. And in the 305 non-wing sprint car UMSS A-Main, Ryan Bowers over Cam Schaefer.
Hey, Owen, you buy any of them raffle tickets?
For that ATV, you betcha.
If you win, make sure you go to Sign Pro of Owatonna for your ATV plate. That's where I got the one for my side-by-side, yeah.
That one that looks like a real Minnesota Habitat plate?
That's the one.
That was nifty.
Nifty, but wasn't too spendy.
Hey, fellas.
Hey Emma. Emma.
You guys going to the potluck over at the lodge next month?
You bringing your tater tot hot dish?
You betcha.
I'll be there.
Natalie bringing something?
She said she's bringing casserole.
A what?
Well, she's from out east. I was just on my way to Sign Pro of Owatonna now to pick up a potluck banner. Here, I have the design they sent me on my phone.
Oh, would you look at that. That's nifty.
You bet it's nifty.
Yeah, that's nifty. Not too spendy?
Not too spendy, but it sure was nifty.
Whether you're looking for banners, ATV plates, boat or snowmobile numbers, or commercial signs and graphics for your vehicle or building, call Sign Pro of Owatonna at 507-444-6261. Sign Pro of Owatonna. Nifty, but not too spendy.
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. This is Darcy from Pulver Towing. Over the years, we've been called to fields and job sites where they've spent days trying to free a piece of equipment from the muck. If you don't have time to wait, call Pulver Towing. Our towing experts will have you out in hours instead of days. With locations in Rochester, Worthington, Fulda, and Marshall, if you're stuck, call Pulver Towing today.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.